Hello, welcome to the WDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a good friend, Tracy McCoy. Tracy, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you as well, Chris.
Good. Tracy, is my hoarse voice coming through right now? Are you picking up a little more baritone in my voice?
I do notice a little, but I think I'm used to it because as we previously discussed, everyone's been sick in my house for going on 3 weeks now. So it's just become the new norm, sniffles, sneezing, you know, all that. If that's all we experience, we're doing good.
Tis the season. So yeah, anyways, but it's a good day. I can't complain. I got my coffee. I'm sitting down talking to a friend. We're talking about vacationing, cruising, and Disney. So everything else is good in the world.
Yeah.
So happy new year, by the way, Tracy.
Yeah. Happy new year to you as well.
Okay. So I've got a Disney expert. All right. Tracy McCoy is a travel agent with Trips to the Mouse and UPAC We Plan. Trips to the Mouse is the Disney side and UPAC We Plan is the non-Disney side. But since we're already in 2023, I figured we've got an expert on. Let's talk about things you can predict or would like to see Disney change for this year. You know, we've got a new big boss come on board. You know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, so to speak. So what can we expect or what would you like to see?
Well, you know, we can never predict what's going to happen. As we all know, when that big, you know, change in leadership came in, like that was the hot news when I was sitting around with family and friends who like that news meant nothing to. I had to quick go on Facebook and check out all the groups, but I can definitely talk about some things that I would like to see. And I know there have definitely been things that have been, you know, buzzed about, rumored, but I understand park reservations, but it sure would be nice if they went away. From being, you know, a travel advisor, it's just another thing to coordinate with people. I've had clients in the past kind of say like, well, we want to do, you know, something different now. And it's like, well, we can't do that. The park's, you know, filled. I had some clients who traveled over Christmas and at the last minute, it was a big group and they wanted to add two more people. And I said, well, we can add two people, but they can't go to the parks that you all are going to because it's such a busy time. So I understand from the business standpoint and like allocating resources and staffing, it makes sense, but it does just make things just a little bit more difficult for everybody involved.
Okay, so we're going to do away with reservations for the parks. And, you know, I got to tell you too, that's one of my big wishes is to do away with that. But as a person who regularly schedules people with multiple facilities that I do in my real life, it sure is nice knowing that, okay, we're going to be at about 80% workforce capacity. We can handle about 80%. But I also want to call a bunk to that because when I'm at the parks, it doesn't feel like 80%.
It does capacity. Not. It sure it does doesn't. Not. I don't know. It seems, I mean, it's great for travel advisors, but it sure seems busier than ever there most of the time.
So. Right. Right. Okay. So we're going to do away with park reservations. What else would you like to see in this next year?
Well, let's hope that Tron Light Cycle Run opens this year, right?
2028.
Yeah, right. Right. Right? Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. It looks amazing. We watched all the YouTube videos of the overseas version and we've, every time we've gone on, snapped pictures, driven the cars and gotten the, you know, while the little ones driving the car, banging us into the rails, I'm taking all the pictures. So I'm excited for that.
We've seen the trains run. And then when I was on maybe a month ago or so on, you know, the TTA, the People Mover, as I looked down and I saw like the concrete work, they still have a ways to go. You know, I was looking at it and I was like, you know, I'm not so sure that's going to be running anytime soon. They got to get people. But that is up. I mean, they have a massive, I don't want to say the word infrastructure, but as far as like causeways for people and exits and entrances, I mean, they didn't build it on the cheap. That is like from ground up, like ingenious how they're going to create it and whatnot. So
It looks amazing. I'm excited.
Tron and reservations gone. Give me one more. Give me something else you'd like to see.
Oh boy. Maybe I'll get into Space 220 in the upcoming
maybe
year.
Finally. finally, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, let me pick your brain then. What is the hardest reservation to obtain at Walt Disney World for dining? Let's say you got a knucklehead like me that says, I'm not making them 60 days out. I'm going to make them 3 weeks out. What is the hardest reservation and what would be the best reservation I could hope for 3 weeks out?
You know, that would definitely be Space 220. That's still one that we constantly, you know, have to make sure our clients have realistic expectations about and sort of understanding how that, you know, even if you're on your first day of your reservation, how your window overlaps with other people's windows. But look, Chris, you might be going to Paradiso 37.
Know, right? Bongos.
No. Really, I tell people, as long as you don't have too big of a group, really 24 hours before that, or, you know, now they did change to the two hours before you can cancel online. But really, the day before, just like you are online looking, you know, in the app looking for new reservations, people are doing the same thing. So, you know, just check back periodically. I know there's a lot of like the dining sites out there, but now I feel like they're so oversaturated. Personally, I haven't even had very good luck with them as of late. Mm-hmm. You know, just the day before, just you're in your app all the time now anyway, when you're in the park. So just check periodically. You know, that's kind of the best advice.
Nice. And I've been proclaiming this. It's all in the hunt, right? It's all in the search. And if you could find gold at the last moment, you know, we found a homecoming with like 3 days prior. Yeah. It was like awesome.
You know, really saw home because, like I said, everyone is doing the same thing that you are. So
exactly.
Find something.
All right. So you might remember Tracy from her last trip report, which was an amazing Alaskan cruise, which she's booked and now she's going back, as I understand. Yeah. Is that correct? You're going back?
Yes, we are. We're going back in June. I'm going back with my mom, who's come with me every time. And we're now bringing my oldest son, who will be 23 at the time, because he's big into like outdoorsy stuff. So I know he's going to think it's absolutely beautiful.
I'm completely jealous. And it will be, I don't like use the word bucket list, but it's going to be on the list. But we've heard about cruises from Royal Caribbean and we've heard about Disney cruises. And, you know, we've even heard things from Carnival and whatnot. But, and we're always glad to hear trip reports on a cruise because it's so wonderful. I'm a big supporter of a cruise. But I've never heard of a cruise report for the Virgin Atlantic Cruises. Because when we first caught wind of this a couple years ago, it was like, wait a minute, this is an adults only cruise from Richard Branson, right? So, you know, Virgin Air, and I mean, a million different facets to this. And this is an adults only cruise. How does that work? Like, because like most of us are family people with kids and little guys. But then when you start thinking about it, be like, you know what though? We can get babysitters for the weekend or the week or a 4 day stretch. And I have never known anybody to go on a cruise until this moment in time. So I've got the skinny and I've got all the details ready to come. So Tracy, where's the port for Virgin Atlantic?
That we flew into Port of Miami. So anytime we cruise, and for my clients, I always advise the night before, just in case you have any delays or anything. You can do the day of if you need to, but just always makes me a little bit nervous. So we did fly in the night before, and we stayed at a hotel that was just right outside of the airport. So not real scenic, but when you come in late, perfect. Hung out by the pool until it was time to head over to the port the next day.
Yeah. So you flew into Miami International Airport?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Because you can fly into Fort Lauderdale, but it's a little bit of a hike from Fort Lauderdale to the Port of Miami.
I didn't have a lot of notice on this cruise. It was sort of up in the air. So by the time we looked for flights, we had to do quite a bit of finagling in different airports and checking things out to try to find a flight that didn't kind of break the bank. So on our way home, we did go and fly out of Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Can I give you a really dorky Chris tip about Fort Lauderdale Airport?
What?
It's got nothing to do with Fort Lauderdale Airport, but within 20 minutes of there, there's called Sawgrass Recreation Park.
We went there. Well, we
did. Good girl.
No. Okay. Never mind. I take that back. We went to the outlet mall.
Okay. Hey, well, you'll love it next time. Sawgrass Recreational Park, and it's almost part of the National Park System, and it deals with the Everglades. And of course, you know me, you know, what am I going there for?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you see 10 footer, 12 footer, 13 footers, and it's on an airboat. I've never been on an airboat before. So I'm like the yokel, like screaming my head off as the airboat's just skimming across, you know, the reeds, but it's within like 20 minutes of the airport. So if you're ever leaving there and you need like a 2 hour, it's right there.
All right. Well, keep that in mind.
There we go. Great tip about staying overnight or arriving the day before, especially when you live in the north and your cruise is anywhere from like really like September through like even like late winter, early spring.
Yeah. We never know what it's going to do around here.
Hurricanes, snow, sleet, and that flight is delayed. And then you're screwed. Cause what time is disembarkation? Do you remember that, Tracy? What time can you board?
So we board again, there were some earlier times because that we were a little bit late, late in getting this plan in action. We got on at 2:30, but awesome. When you get off, you could get off up till 10:45, which is the time I chose. which is not really the case on a lot of other cruise lines. You know, it's like you arrive back into port and they are like kind of like, toot, get out. So that was nice, especially okay, if you have a little bit of a later flight.
Well, hang on now, because now I'm confused. Because with a regular cruise line, it's like you start boarding at 1 o'clock and they call all 19 classes, you know, yep. all the way down to steerage class where I board. But like, so you can pick a different boarding time for?
Yeah, when you register, you can pick different boarding times. We were one of the last boarding times just because we, you know, basically like registered really late. Okay. But when you get off, you can pick, it's all done through the app. You pick the different times you want to disembark and, you know, return to reality. And our flight was not until that evening. So we picked 10:45 as the latest time. So you had to be out of your room by 10:30 still, but you could go and dine and things. And yeah. So that was nice.
That's really nice. I can remember eating a lot of breakfasts while it's still dark, trying to wolf something down.
That's a lot nicer.
Yeah. So it's almost like parks reservations because they're trying to control the flow of humanity off the boat at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's even take a step back even prior to this. So you're at your hotel and you've got a shuttle or you took an Uber to the port.
We took an Uber to the port. So it was about a 20-minute Uber ride over. A lot of traffic, as you might imagine, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then as soon as you leave the Uber, is there someone at the stand waiting to take your luggage for you? Do you wheel it in? How does that work?
Yeah. Like many other cruise lines, you had the option of letting them take your luggage and put it into your room, or you could take it with you if you wanted to, but we weren't planning, like, you know, a lot of people sometimes will want to bring like at least a smaller bag to swim or something, but I wanted to have my hands free so I could get on and take a lot of pictures and things. So we opted to have them grab our bags. You know, cruising has gotten a lot easier now. We don't have to worry about vaccinations and testing and all that. So that does take a lot of the stress out of it. When I cruised the summer, it was like that fear of like, oh no, did we do everything right? Did we jump through all the hoops? Is somebody going to have a negative test? So that's a lot nicer, but you just kind of head up and work your way through the line. And like I said, we were the last boarding group, so we could kind of go straight in there and they, you know, check your documents. And I was going to say, I don't think it's in here, but it's really cool. They have kind of like our magic bands, rather than a lanyard and a card, it's a little cord with a little piece of plastic that's RFID enabled. So, you know, you tap open your room there, you can pay for any drinks or anything all from your band. So you put on your band and you can wear that the whole time. So that is nice.
It's literally called the band for Virgin Atlantic. Yeah. So do they ship it to your house prior to you leaving, or can you pick it up there?
They can, depending on, you know, how far in advance, but just like with magic bands before, you know, if it was too close to the time, you can have them shipped to the hotel. We just picked ours up there. So we put them on up there at the stand and they kind of explained how everything worked. So that I loved that. Rather than having it like a lanyard around your neck or something like that. So that was nice.
All right. Help a cheap guy out. So I'm dropping my luggage off. I got a whole family with me. I got 5 people. And I figure each guy that takes a bag, I want to leave him a couple bucks, but I'm never sure. Is it $2? Is it $5? I don't want to be stupid. I don't want to give him something ridiculous. How much do you tip when you give a bag per
like
person?
I usually do like 2 a bag. My mom and I only had 4 bags between us. So we gave him a 10 and we both had like, my mom pressured me to do carry-on because she was worried about her time. So that was a lot for me. I usually like to have options. So we just each had a carry-on bag and like a backpack type thing that we handed off.
Okay. So we're boarding the boat. And I looked, by the way, so if you just if you're ever bored at work, people, and just go to Virgin Atlantic Cruises, just go to their website and look. And they have an amazing FAQ for before you board, while you're on boat, when you reach land again. And if you look at the site and you look at the boat, you're like, what in the cat's pajamas? That's amazing. It looks futuristic. It doesn't look anything like you'd think an ocean liner would look like at all. So what was your impression, not only of the terminal, but of the boat as soon as you boarded? What was your expectations and what was your first like moment?
I thought it was really modern, really fun. And that's like something that encompasses the whole cruise, just really fun. Like everyone's, you know, obviously on Disney Cruise Line, everyone's very nice, but here everyone was just like, all of the crew members just seemed like they were having fun and people were in good spirits and having fun. And I just kind of said, that's because there's no kids here, you know, yelling at you or whining or, you know, so it's just, everyone was like, it really, you know, like just sitting by the pool and not being like, don't splash your sibling or be careful or, you know, you don't have to worry about that. So it's just really like fun, funky, upbeat, modern. Yeah.
Gotcha. So it, as we mentioned, the cruise is designed for the family, but the minimum age is 18 mm-hmm. and above. So yes. Nobody under 18 is allowed on the cruise. Mm-hmm. But there's still, even as one of the FAQs is, may I bring the entire family along? You know, not knowing what to expect on a cruise, they would say adults only. And they're like, absolutely. It's designed for everybody. It's designed for fun. We're going to have fun and guarantee it, but they got to be 18 years old or older. So yeah. At that point. Okay. So you're on the boat. Are you allowed to eat like a regular cruise line as soon as you go on the boat? Can you just graze? Can you just stop off here in the buffet? Or what does the food process look like? Because I'm seeing that's very important on this cruise line.
Yeah, the food, like I told you before, the food on here is amazing. Definitely, like, I hate the term foodie, but then I also kind of consider myself a foodie. I've been around, like, fine dining for a long time in my life. So I was really impressed by that. So one of the things they pride themselves on is not really having a buffet per se. They have an area called the galley, which it's like, I don't want to call it a food court in that way, but they have different areas that serve different types of food. However, you go in and you can walk around and see, like, you want to look at the dessert station and you can walk around and look and see what you want. But most of your orders are taken by a server. So you can, and they have a menu too. So you can go up and scope out the desserts, but then you don't have to be like walking around carrying all your plates. You just tell your server what you want and they bring it over to you. So okay. It's like that. Best so that's of both worlds of buffet.
Okay, so that's the buffet, but they must have fine dining on the boat as well, too. So what does that look like? Is it like, hey, you've got a 6:30 seating. Hey, you've got an 8:30 seating. Hey, you're going to rotate the dining rooms. How does that differ than a Disney cruise line?
So there's a lot of flexibility in the dining, but you need to be kind of prepared beforehand. We saw a lot of people who didn't understand how it worked, and they were confused. So beforehand, in the app, you can pick your basically like dining reservations. Now, if you just, let's say you didn't get dining reservations, there's still lots of places like the galley, lots of like what we would consider type quick service where you can walk up and get different kinds of food way beyond like burgers and things. However, if you want like that sit down dining experience, you do need to make reservations in the app. We did find when we got on, there were a lot more reservations available. So initially, because it was, you know, sort of short notice, there weren't as many. We had some dining, but it was like, well, I really would have liked to have gone here. When we got on, a lot more things opened up. So okay. You do make different dining reservations. It's going to be a variety of times. Our earliest was like a 5:30. Our latest was like 8:30 or 9 even for dining.
Were all the dining options included in the price? Or were they upgraded with the reservations?
I believe all but one. I believe there's one that's kind of like a tasting type menu is okay. Upgraded. Other than that, everything was included. Now, there might be something like when we went to the Wake, the steakhouse, where it was like, I want to add a seafood tower. There might be an upgraded option on the menu, but it was like 90% of the menu all included. And like many other crew, you know, you could get multiple entrees if you wanted.
If the question is, do I want to add the seafood tower? The answer should be yes.
It's marked on the menu, so it's no surprises. Like, I believe there's like a little dollar sign or something, like it you know, a premium thing, but.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. On Royal Caribbean, when you board, they sell you the drink cup, right? You can get juice and you can get tea and you can get water and whatnot. But if you want pop or beer or whatnot, they're going to sell you a package. Mm-hmm. How does that work with Virgin Atlantic?
So, soft drinks, they have Coke products, Coke freestyle machines, juices, teas, brewed coffee, all of that is included. That's a little bit different. Royal, no pop included. Disney pop is included. They don't do drink packages per se. They do like a bar tab. So that's where a lot of their promos come in. They've been running some promos for Black Friday and things through the holidays, but that's where a lot of their promos will come in. It'll be like a free X amount of bar tab. So you have the option of basically like putting a bar tab, like I'm going to put $100 or however much, no judgment, you know? And so it's like, I prepaid for that. I don't have to worry about it. Or you can just pay as you go. One of the things they pride themselves is not having these ridiculously overpriced drinks. Now, like we love to go to Disney. Yes, we do. But we know how much their cocktails are. They're way more than you might pay at a restaurant.
Sure.
You know, a glass of wine, like my mom had rosé one night, it was, you know, $7 to $9. So very reasonable. So it's not, you know, you're not going to likely run up a ridiculous bar tab. You know, we had a glass of wine each night. And my bill at the end of the four nights was $55.
Oh, that is reasonable.
And I either had a cocktail or a glass of wine each dinner.
Gotcha. Okay. Can you tell me what was like the mood of people that were drinking? So I'm trying to ascertain. Okay. So I'm thinking it's adults only cruise. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I know it's definitely a step up from like Carnival where people mm-hmm. are utilizing that drink package to the nth degree. They're going to get their $67 worth every day.
They're out there treading water in the ocean for 12 hours till they're rescued.
Right. They got so many, got so many little mini umbrellas. Yeah. So anyways, what was it like on this boat? Were people drinking sociably? Were people drinking to excess? What did it look like?
Sociably. I didn't see anything crazy. And I think I totally understand in some ways why Disney doesn't offer that drink mm-hmm. package. Because people tend to, like you said, want to like maximize, get their, you know, bang for their buck. So I didn't see anything crazy whatsoever.
Okay. Nice. Okay. And you mentioned like quick service options. So I'm just going to fire off a few things. Like, okay, so there was a burger grill, I'm assuming, right? There's a pizza place. There's Taco Bell.
There's an awesome pizza place. Yeah, actually, we are like, we need a longer cruise. We have more time to eat. But like the Neapolitan style, like bubbly crust.
Nice.
Not like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese type pizza that you might get on Royal. I mean, my kids loved it, but there's no kids here, so we don't need the Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
No need at all. What about sushi? Do they offer sushi as an option?
So sushi was available in the galley. So you could walk in and they had bento boxes right there and ready to go. And that was delicious. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Last question then about food, at least for now. What about dessert options? So, I mean, you're going to go to the buffet, right? Or like the quick service or the kiosk or the location. Okay. And they're going to have your standard ice creams and they're going to have pies and cakes and they're going to have pastries and they're going to have cookies and all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Was it a step above Disney's like dessert options and Royal's dessert options? Because those are pretty good. It's hard to top something like that. Those are pretty good.
So they had an ice cream parlor where it is like hard pack scooped ice cream. Okay. And they had a good amount of flavors there. They had a couple coffee areas where obviously you could buy the upgraded like espresso type drinks, but all the pastries there were also included. Like we had almond croissants one morning that were delicious. They have a handcrafted popsicle cart that's in the galley, but it's like the popsicles you might get on, you know, at like some of the little like beach type resort areas. So like the unique flavors of popsicles there. Yeah. And of course in the galley had desserts. Like we had a Scarlet Lady that was like almost like an eclair. They had different changing little desserts. So they were delicious and beautiful.
All right. Because everybody goes in a cruise. So let's just say it like it is. So you go on a cruise, at least my perspective is I'm going on the cruise because I just want to be in the sun and I want to do something unique. Number one. Number two is I want to eat. I want to eat when I'm on that boat. You know, I'm not going to stuff myself. I'm not going to make myself a pig, but I am going to eat a lot. Number three is I probably want to see the ports of call because the ports of call are going to be unique. Where do they take you on the boat? So we've covered food. We've covered, you know, the exact, where do they take you on this?
So we went on a 4-night cruise. And so our first stop was Key West. Mm-hmm. And then we had a sea day and then we had Bimini.
Nice. Okay. So did you get off? You're an experienced traveler and you've probably been on a lot of Caribbean cruises before. Did you get off and enjoy, or did you just stay in the boat to explore the boat more?
No, we had that sea day. So we got off in Key West and my mom and I just kind of wandered around, looked in all the little shops, had some seafood, ate outside, got to pet some of the roosters that are wandering around down there. You know about the roosters, Chris?
No, but I've been to Tampa, so okay. I mean, I'm well aware of roosters just walking the streets. So
they're just wandering around down there. And when we were eating, our server, you know, said like, "Oh, they're really friendly here," and like picked it up and put it on my lap. So, they're just wandering around, and you can hear them crowing, and there's, you know, chicks walking around, not girls, like baby chicks. So yeah, it was interesting, but it was just a relaxing day.
You've got guts, man. I got to tell you, when I went on a cruise, we ended up in Puerto Rico and in San Juan, and our like tour driver took us to this little roadside stand where they were making like deep fried food. And one of them was like deep fried octopus and he was trying to get people to eat it. And I was like, there is no circumstance in God's green earth I'm going to be eating roadside octopus here in Puerto Rico and then getting on a boat.
Yeah.
You know, you have guts, you have courage.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're back on the boat. And what are you doing on this boat that's unique? Or frankly, how are you burning off the 3,700 calories you're eating, consuming every day?
Okay. Well, you know? I did a lot of resting and relaxing. However, if you feel guilty, you know, about all the food you've eaten, there's actually a lot of like activities for the health conscious travelers.
Okay.
They had a lot of classes. They have a really nice gym. They have a jogging track. They had like some dance classes and things. So there are a lot of ways to be active. They have a basketball court. They have a grown-up playground with a teeter-totter on it and things like that. So yeah.
Nice. What about climbing wall, zip line?
No climbing wall or zip line. Okay. It's a little bit smaller than some of those like mega ships that you might be familiar with, but lots of places to relax around the pools, like lots of padded loungers, not just the chairs. So lots of those circle padded beds that were just available for anyone. You didn't have to reserve those.
All right. So we're back at the pool area because now you're just going to relax and get some sunshine. Mm-hmm. Was the pool area more spacious than other cruise lines?
I think it was. Yeah. Okay. Bigger than the Royal ships that I've been in. And that being said, adults don't do a lot of swimming. They do, you know, nobody is like, look at this handstand.
And
so,
cannonball.
Yeah. So a lot of people are just kind of chilling, hanging out there. There was kind of like a ledge around so you could just kind of sit. There was some batting of a, you know, beach ball a little bit. And then half of the pool has maybe it's like a foot. So you could just sit in there and then it kind of drops off to what would be maybe like 4 or 5 feet max.
Okay. A
couple of hot tubs.
I'm trying to compare to like other pool areas. Do they have like contests, dance parties? I mean, what was like the activity on board, or was it more subdued and low key?
It was definitely more subdued by the pool. There really wasn't any, like there would be a DJ there. I know there was a DJ. We could hear one day from a upper deck. They had like a, I think it was like boy band dance class or something. But yeah, it's just kind of hanging out by the pools. We noticed a lot of, it seemed like groups had gone together. So like groups of couples or, families.
Nice.
Or maybe they just were really sociable and had made some new friends. But we saw a lot of people just kind of hanging out.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So let's just say you were a little more adventurous than that on boat. Okay. And let's just say you were looking for something unique on the boat. What options would Virgin have? Like I've read about, well, frankly, I read about where you can get ink on a boat. Is this true? Tell me that.
They have a tattoo parlor at sea called Squid Ink. And I was with a friend.
Wait a minute. Did you say Squid Ink?
It's called Squid Ink. Yes.
Awesome.
I said, I probably shouldn't spend any money on a tattoo. You know, Christmas is coming up. And she was like, well, I was going to get one. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, kind of a really twist my arm. But, you know, that's a completely unique experience. So we were able to get some appointments for our sea day. Now, they do have a tattoo board that has all of their offerings on the tattoo board are $150. So if you just like want to get something to get something. I had something a little bit like in mind that I wanted. So they will do custom designs as well. They also do piercings on the ship. So you can get your nose pierced there, Chris, next visit.
I've been looking for that for a long time.
Yeah.
So logistically though, if you're going to get tattoos on a boat, I mean, you have to be able to get that in like one sitting or two sittings because I mean, you're on this boat and you don't want to spend 6 hours a day getting tattooed. So a lot of these are small designs at this point.
Yeah, but you can definitely get some big ones. I saw somebody when we were on the beach and she had the plastic sticky sheet over it and that was her whole upper arm. So I knew that she had gotten it and she said, yeah, she had spent the whole sea, almost like the whole sea day getting, and it was like a map with a compass and everything on her arm.
Wow. How was the artistry?
The artistry was really good. You could check out their Instagram before. Here's something else that Virgin has, free Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's really good.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
really
is. We know, I think the Wish now does have Wi-Fi or, you know, better. Disney Cruise Lines, internet, terrible. Even if you pay for it, terrible. Royal, a little bit better, but again, not free. So that was awesome. You couldn't stream, but you could check your social media, send emails, send text messages. I was able to do some internet calls. Not great, but anyways, it did enable you to look at the artist's like Instagram because there's a couple different artists and see maybe what they specialized in or just kind of see some of their work. I kind of took it from like Virgin's, like if they're going to have these people be on their cruise, they're probably going to be okay to do this little tattoo I want to get. So
I'd be nervous about the boat rocking and rolling on the ocean.
I actually asked her when she was doing it, I was asking questions and I said, have you ever encountered that, you know, been too choppy? And she said she had somebody who wanted a straight line, like all the way down his arm. And she said it was choppy day. And one of their stabilizers was down in the ship. So she suggested they wait till they were at port. But she said most of the time they're just fine.
Yeah, if you've been on a cruise, so this is what people, if you've never been on a cruise, you're probably wondering this. Those cruise ships are very stable, very stable. You'll feel movement and you'll feel motion. And as long as you're not out there during a squall or during a heavy storm, it's very unlikely that you'll actually see the boat or feel the boat moving from side to side. You may have a little equilibrium issue occasionally, but that's about it. So
yeah, if you do feel some movement, it's not like constant. It'll be like, oh, I felt, and then you usually don't feel anything for a while. So yeah, I got my tattoo. My friend got a tattoo as well.
Nice. Well, let me ask you about things that I could relate on a Royal Caribbean. Tell me if they have it or if they have something similar to it. There's a spa, correct?
There is a spa. Yep. Okay. I did not visit the spa. My friend visited it. She did remark that it was very, I don't want to say sparse, but very like Scandinavian, very like modern, clean, not like kind of a plush type of atmosphere.
Okay. They have a bar. They have like a tavern, kind of like a pub style, or like, is there like a central courtyard where they have these various locations? Where would a guy go to watch football?
So they are spread out around the ship. There's different areas that have sort of different vibes. There's going to be like the champagne bar where really all at these bars, you can still get all of the same drinks essentially. But like you were asking, like for a sports area, one of the people we were with went to go watch the soccer games because that was going on. While we were there. So they have kind of different vibes or different kind of feels or atmospheres to the different like bars and pubs, but they're spread throughout the ship.
Okay. Do they have a art auction on the boat?
They did not have an art auction. They do have some shopping, if that's what you're going to ask next. And definitely some of like the higher end like stores. But they do have like some of their own Virgin items, shirts and things. They have a convenience store.
Nice. Could you pay credit card for any of that stuff? Or was it all done by the band?
All done by the band. And you could check that total in the app. And also at dinner, if you bought a drink or anything, they would always show you on their handheld, like, okay, hey, you know what I mean? You had the Pinot Noir, you know, kind of check that over with you.
Okay. Let's say you were on the boat and you had an excursion. You're going to port. Is there a place for you to exchange money or exchange money from the band to the currency, or how would that work?
So beforehand, I know that you could, like if you didn't hook up a credit card to your account, you could say that when you got there, you wanted to put cash on your account and then you could take that refund when you got back. Like, let's say I want to put $500 cash here and then you could take what was left over. So you could do that, but it wasn't an exchange of cash. Now, I did tip my tattoo artist in cash. I just happened to have some, but.
Okay. And then, well, let's go about tipping then. So as the cruise is starting to wind down, are you leaving or is it just, it's not part of the program, right? There's a stipend per day for everybody who takes care of it. It's whatever percentage. Is that right? Or is it optional?
So they do not, like other cruise lines, give you envelopes to give any additional. They don't. There's no prepaid gratuities. So that should be all included. And Virgin prides themselves on paying their crew members more because of this.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we that's do nice. You don't have to worry about, you know, you get correct. The envelope and it's like, oh, what do we give this guy that we never saw? You know what I mean? Like that.
But you could walk around with $20 bills and say, hey, thank you. And hey, thank you.
No. Yeah. I don't know if it's, you know, some places it's against the rules for them to accept them. I don't know about that, but you're not given any envelopes. And they say there's, you know, obviously we know they recoup them other ways in the cost, but there's no specific where it's like, do you want to do prepaid gratuities? You want to pay them later? So, yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's parlay off that question then. As far as overall cost for a 4-night cruise, less than Disney, more than Disney, less than Royal Caribbean, more than Royal Caribbean, where does this sit in the...
Less than Disney, more than Royal.
Okay. So kind of in the sweet spot of the middle of those two,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. So it's a luxury cruise, but it's not over Disney's prices, which means it's below the premier lines, those Silver Seas and whatnot, correct, at this point?
Yeah. And most of the time, think about it too. If you're going on Virgin, you're probably only bringing two people. And so when you get those Disney Cruise Line, you know, that's primarily families. I've obviously gone without kids several times, but just to factor in, you're bringing four people, five people, maybe even.
Okay. So now you asked that question. Let me ask you about the demographic of the people on the boat, because now I'm picking up that it's probably not made for families, but it is. Like, what is the average age, or what are we looking at on the boat?
So when I first heard about Virgin Voyages, I was at a cruise conference in November of 2019. And that was one of my questions. I kind of said to the Virgin people, I was like, oh, so like this is for, because there's this kind of belief that it's sort of like a party cruise. I kind of thought like, so this is for the younger demographic. And it's not really, I think the cost, because it's a little bit more expensive, it is actually a little bit of an older. So sure, you're going to see people in their 20s. We saw people up into their 70s, but typically I would say like 30 to 50 probably.
Okay, interesting. And what percentage would you guess that boat was full? Because like it's a unique sales pitch. Mm-hmm. Leave the kids, come join us, you know, or if you don't have kids, whatever the case may be, but it's unique.
I would say probably 75%. Now, we had an advisor with our agency who had cruised the Thanksgiving week. And their boat was full. And she had a little more difficulty because, again, this was kind of a last minute thing for us. She had a little more difficulty with the dining reservations. I think that added to our flexibility. But even still, there was never any time where there weren't plenty of loungers available by the pools. You know, I could imagine at capacity, there would still have been plenty of seating, no ridiculous lines for things.
Okay. Do you feel like you got really good value on this cruise when you left the boat? Do you feel like this is something I would do again from this cruise line?
Yeah, I definitely want to go back, and I would love to go with my big kids and, you know, with some friends. I was with my mom, and God love her, but she's 73. She's a retired accountant. And so there was a lot of things where she was like, I don't know about that. Like, I'll just kind of hang back. And I was like, that's fine. Like, she came with to experience the warm weather. So, and she was a good sport about trying some of these different restaurants. We went to a Korean Grill one night and she was like, I don't know about the squid on here. I'm going to pass, but yeah.
Okay. That's, you know, everything sounds wonderful so far. And I mean, there's a lot of people listening right now that'd be like, you know, I guess I never considered it, but I probably should, because this was a 4-night cruise.
Yeah.
You know, getting babysitters for a 4-night cruise, that's not so hard, you know? Yeah. So all of a sudden, that becomes much more managed.
It's just so nice to, I love my children. Of course, clearly we all love our children.
We all love our children.
Just to not have that, I don't want to say a distraction, but like just that added stress, you know, we had a wonderful time when we were in Alaska, but being stuck in a little cruise cabin with two kids for 7 nights, it gets to be a lot. And what you do a lot on cruises is, you know, take them places, follow them places. They want to go to the pool, or, you know, so it's like my husband and I are, you know, kind of sitting there by the pool, and we love watching them play. And you know, as a parent, get enjoyment of watching them have fun. But it was nice because it was like, I don't have to worry about that. I can be selfish and not feel bad about it. You know, like I can just lay here for hours and read my book and get some sun and nobody's bored.
For sure. That's wonderful. What else should we know about on this boat, or what else should we know before we book, or when we're on, or when we disembark? What would you tell people?
So I want to talk about some of the shows that we saw, because I went on this as sort of a working trip. I really tried to go to a lot of things and make sure I got to experience them so I could be better informed for my clients. The shows were really fun, really upbeat, really modern, very well done. We saw one the first night that was called Ships in the Night, and it was almost kind of like a like modern dancer type thing where it was about people just being caught up in their daily lives and forgetting to live, you know, all being into their phones and everything. We saw one called Dual Reality, which I'm an English teacher by day, and it was D-U-E-L, and it was a modern, like kind of an acrobatic take on Romeo and Juliet.
Whoa.
And they even used some of the lines from Romeo and Juliet. So I was just so excited to come back and tell my students, because we talk about what an impact Shakespeare had on our modern lives. So I was excited to tell them that, but it was like with very modern music. We went one night to a couple of different things. We went to, it was like a circus disco dance party thing. So we stayed for the show and then we kind of left when there was a dance party. Now there was one show that was a little risque and they did give some warning before it. And it was called NSA, Never Sleep Alone. And they did ask you, when you came in, they had a main floor and it said like, how outgoing are you feeling or how much do you want to participate? And I was like, my mom is a -5 and outgoing. So we went to the upstairs where you could just kind of watch, but it definitely had some adult humor, some adult themes. Like we were laughing, but it was not necessarily for the faint of heart. And that was only one time and it was at 9 o'clock at night. And some of the shows you do need a reservation for, and we had a reservation for that one. But even that one, they ask you like no phones, because you might go up to participate and say something that might be, you know, maybe a little off humor or humor that you don't want someone to put out there on their TikTok. So they really kind of enforce that. But it was funny. We were laughing, but that was really the only show. And I think that's a little bit of a misconception. Some people think like it's going to be a party. Things are going to crazy. That was the only thing that had that little bit of like adult humor to it. But you could even tell beforehand, I believe there was, I don't want to say some warnings, but you kind of knew what you were walking into if you went to that show.
Gotcha.
So, but other than that, like your kids conceivably could have watched any of these other shows.
Gotcha. Okay. Because that's one of the questions I had was, okay, you've already put the thought in people's brains by calling it an adult-only cruise, mm-hmm. right? 18 and above. You know, so are we talking the SS Pineapple? You know, is what we're really thinking at this point. And the answer is no at this point.
No, correct? No. There's okay. just that one, like if you, you know, kind of laughed at some of those dirty jokes, you would definitely be laughing at the show. And, you know, if you had maybe two cocktails, you would have been good sitting on the main floor.
Oh, yeah.
Or the upstairs, if you just kind of wanted to watch. But that was, it was a lot of fun. We were laughing. Even my mom was laughing. So if a 73-year-old accountant is laughing at it, like most people are, right?
It's got to be good. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
We talked about all the food quality, and I'm not a big like dinner. Like, okay, dinner is good for me, and like lunch is good for me. This is the last food question. Breakfast is like my like favorite meal of the day. Breakfast quality, breakfast food, standard fare, but like still really good, really fresh. Is that?
Yes.
Is that,
so you okay. could obviously go to the Galley, and then some of the sit down restaurants were also open for breakfast. We did the Galley once because I just like that flexibility, but we did go to a restaurant called Razzle Dazzle, which has just really fun, funky food. So I had a confetti milk toast one day that had sprinkles on it. I had some kind of a maple glazed bacon. I had some, I think they were sweet potato tots with a queso fresco. And I also had some avocado toast. So yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Outstanding. This sounds like a really cool thing. I got to tell you, this sounds like something. And my wife and I, we've realized as, you know, we're in our late 40s and we're like, you know, we need to take time back for ourselves. Our kids are getting older. They're 18. And so we have our mother-in-law come over a couple times a year for just a weekend to watch the kids. Well, I mean, it's almost in the exact same vein of why we're going on the same cruise. So outstanding. Okay. So describe this cruise in three words, please.
I would say fun, funky, and stress-free.
Outstanding. Like right off the bat, you had that ready. Like you're like, this idiot's going to ask me three words again. I better have this answer ready. Okay. Excellent. And good value, right? You felt like you received good value as you left the boat?
Yeah. The food, I just said, I love the way the dining worked. I love the quality of the food, you know. Sometimes on cruise ships, it seems a little bit more like quantity over quality. You know, sure, I can eat, it's not the best, but I can eat two bites of this and two bites of that and move on. So.
Okay. Well, let me ask you then a travel agent question. So again, Trips to the Mouse is your travel agency, and that would be for the Disney brand, essentially, mm-hmm. at this point. We're going to plan everything that's related to Disney and Disneyland and, you know, and whatnot. The UPAC we plan. So, okay, so we got Virgin Atlantic Cruises. We're going to have Royal Caribbean Cruises. We're going to have Carnival Cruises, I'm assuming. Where else are we going that you could help and assist people with?
We can go anywhere and everywhere. I have done, I mean, this is the Disney side, but I did a Disneyland Paris, but travel around Paris. And Chris actually helped me out because he had been to Disneyland Paris. Mm-hmm. I've done where people rented an RV and they went around West Texas and to some state parks and things out there. So, if it's not in my wheelhouse or not my specialty, I know that there's someone within our agency. We're a really awesome, very close-knit group. We can always say, hey, like, so-and-so, you're good with Morocco. I have a client who wants to do Morocco. So I can promise you that we have someone who is an expert in wherever you want to go.
Outstanding. And, you know, I love the fact that your agency, you know, they have two, they have a line of separation. Okay. We have our Disney brand and we have our non-Disney brand. You know, I like specialization, but sometimes people are just comfortable with a voice or a name. And it's like, okay, but you're a Disney specialist, right? Well, yeah, we are, but we have more than that. Mm-hmm. So, okay. How would people get a hold of you if they have questions or want a book or anything along those lines?
So you can email me at Tracy@TripsToTheMouse. You can follow me on TikTok. I'm fledgling at TikTok, but I'm trying to get out there. That is TMC_travels. And I did one about our beach day at Bimini Beach Club, which is their private beach paradise that is accessible by a short tram ride from their boat. Or you can find me at Trips to the Mouse, Tracy McCoy on Facebook.
Outstanding. And I can tell you that Tracy she's got a wealth of experience in like all cool areas. Like we're a Disney podcast, right? But I like to think we're like a travel podcast at this point. And some of the cool trips you've taken, like, yeah, I know a lot of Disney travel agents, but I don't know a lot of other agents that have gone to these locations. So definitely utilize Tracy as a resource for that. Okay. Anything left? Anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, I think I'm good. I'm just going to head downstairs and see what my kids have been doing for the past 45 minutes.
Outstanding. So for my friend Tracy and for myself, we'd like to thank you. And we hope you have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
What didn't we talk about, Tracy? What did we miss?
We didn't talk about the beach club, which
it's
not their private island. Some people think that it's their private island. It's their private beach. Like it is about a 10-minute tram ride from the boat. They have a couple of pools there, lots of beach space, lots of different like hammocks and padded loungers. They do have cabanas for rental as well. The one pool was kind of crazy. If you go over to TMC_travels, you'll see this. It was kind of cool because they were filming when you got on the ship, they had papers that said like, hey, we're going to be filming this week. You might appear in a Virgin promo. So they were doing a lot of filming of commercials and things. So they had like a big time party at one of the pools. And I don't know if the crew was just extra into it because they were filming, but they were like dancing and yeah. And I didn't see him. But my friend went and she had this really grainy zoomed in picture in Key West. Richard Branson got on and was filming some spots on the ship. So
pretty cool.
So they were doing a lot of filming. So it's like, I don't know if they were on their like A++ game because like when we were cruising out of the port, they had a drone that was following us because they were filming and they had a drone over the beach that day because they were like filming spots at the beach. Like sand is this powdery white. Water was cold, pretty cold, so I didn't really go in, but we walked up and down, picked up some shells, and it was just a really nice, relaxing day.
So, Tracy, kind of similar to Labadee from Haiti, where it's not an island, but they own that, kind of similar to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.